This is Due by Friday, the weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, eat popcorn with a spoon. All right, is this the episode?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 41 of Due by Friday. I'm your host, Max Temkin, here in the studio with Merlin Mann and Alex Cox.
Gross.
That's great.
How's it going, guys?
Ew.
It's
Let's
so
start
good.
With weather traffic news. And
I don't know. Out on the 280, there's a back-to-back, bumper-to-bumper jackknife big rig. Back to you, Max.
Mattress in the lanes.
Car fires. Have you ever seen a car fire? I hear a lot about car fires. I don't see a lot of car fires.
Oh, I have seen a car fire. I slow down. I go real slow. Now, do you have the term? Do you have the term rubberneck?
I'm a rubbernecker.
Sorry, not rubberneck. Excuse me. Gaper's block. Do you have the term gaper's block?
Didn't know it.
Isn't that
didn't
a blog in Chicago?
No, it's a Chicago word. It's one of these regionalisms like pop. Where when everyone slows down to stare at a car fire and you want to see, like, did they die in the fire?
Yes.
Did they perish in the fire? Are they currently on fire? Did they get out? You slow down. You got to scope it out and see what the fire situation is. That's a gaper's block. It's a block caused by the gapers. And then Andrew Huff named his, very important, like, local Chicago news and culture blog, Gaper's Block, because it was just sort of a crazy regionalism that only Chicago people know. Gaper's Block.
What about the murders? Do people stop to look at the murders? I heard there's a lot of murders. When people are driving to their work or they're taking their child to school, do they stop to watch the murders?
Yes, it's a very dangerous city. So
it sounds really. They should send in some federales.
You watch the pigeons; they're just punching each other. It's a tough
fucking
time.
Pigeons. You know why? Because they don't have strong father figures.
Then why don't the pigeons just pull up their pants? I don't understand.
Why don't you just learn the language? You know.
All right.
Why don't we talk about the Americans?
Before we get too deep into our business, we have big breaking huge
big balls,
Due by Friday
big
news.
Big balls,
balls
of business.
Due by Friday news. Due by Friday is launching a Patreon. So if you love the podcast and you love that we don't do ads on this and you enjoy listening to us, please support us for $5 a month on patreon.com/Due by Friday, where if you subscribe, Alex, tell the people what they get.
Oh, you get to know the challenge a week in advance, and you will know that by we kind of have had this after show type thing going on for a while where we make fun of Max for about 20 minutes and then decide what the challenge is. So if you would like to hear that 15 to 30 minutes worth of just garbage, you get to participate in the challenge with
us. It's almost like its own little, I'm calling mini episode. I'm not going to sell it
Minnesode.
Short. It's a mini-sode.
The thing to understand about Due by Friday is we're aware that we're speaking to a large public audience here, and we have a lot of decorum.
Yes.
You know, we're really hold back. We restrain ourselves when we do this show, and you know, it's when the mics are off afterwards, when we do our little private after show, that's where it really pops off. It's really crazy. I mean, I get cucked every week.
Yeah. Speaking
people
of which,
people think I'm laughing a lot now, and I make the noise a lot. You don't even know.
We gossip about all the people in the Slack channels with us at work.
Oh, we talk about who we like and don't like. Now, did we officially add a second level to this? Is there officially a second level?
We'll leave that.
You know what?
So,
here's
sure.
a special surprise. You go to patreon.com/Due by Friday, and you might find a special surprise. You'll find how to support the show, give us your money, and you know, time and interest allowing, you might be able to become one of Cox's cucks.
I guess let's also plug the poster. Our friend Kevin Budnick made a pretty sweet show poster. It's got all the characters that you know and love, all the references that we love to do over and over and over. We've got Alex Jones, Bane, some other ones, the Powders, Elon Musk.
Oh God, there's so many. I showed it to John Siracusa. He didn't think it was funny, and he pointed out that should actually be a trademark, not a copyright. Also, we got the date wrong apparently. You got Dude Wipes. You got Dob Dob. You got Casey saying Dob Dob. You got my father,
John Spicer, Gum Man. Remember him?
He's really melting down bad.
Oh,
you know,
man.
He brings a certain candor to the podium. This is a good poster. Oh, you got your main man, David Avocado Wolf, on there.
You can get the poster. Go to patreon.com/Due by Friday. Throw us $5, and then there's links on there for the poster and all the other stuff. And like Alex said, a number of people have asked us. They're like, hey, tell us in advance what the challenge is going to be, because we want to, like, do the challenge with you so we can, you know, sort of, like, participate along with the podcast in a facsimile of real friendship with you guys and yeah. live out the fantasy of this imagined relationship. And you can do that for only $5 a month.
It's all we'll tell you what the challenge is. Yeah. Yeah, we'll laugh along. We'll laugh along with you. But, you know, I think this is a good thing. I think you should give us some money is what I think. I say that maybe like once a year, but I want your fucking money. Mm. Don't you, Alex? You don't want the money, Alex?
Oh, no, I really want the money. I'm thinking about if my cats starve and, like, what happens if they run out of cat litter. So, guys, think about that. Think about all of our cat stories here.
Think about the cats. I recently learned that there is a subgenre of porn that's about it's a BDSM sub-branch where a lady talks to you and she berates you and then she basically the porn is about giving her money and that's you talk about elegance, that is elegance. Now what if we had another
level? What people are getting off to is giving the lady your money.
Yeah, let's try financial domination.
Oh my god. How do we get into this? This is
I see because I think Alex. Oh, Ebony Mistress, Humiliation, Domination, Black Hot Tube Patrol, Humiliation, Black.
Now this is an angle that we should be working. Okay, this is the premium. This is the premium tier of our Patreon.
I mean, I totally agree. This is what Hulu does to me every month, really.
Oh, am I right?
Oh, someone's been a bad boy. He's got to watch the ads. You turn over a little bit of money.
You like horizontal scrolling, dude. You like that you can't find the show you want. You like that MSNBC is on the other fucking end of the dial from CNN. Who puts those on the opposite ends of the dial? You go to patreon.com/dubyfriday, and Alex will personally cuck you for money. Jazz break. Oh my god.
Is that a duck call?
This is, I don't know. There's the whistle that says grunt. Wheeze.
Oh, that's like a hog call. That calls a hog.
I'd call. Kinda,
exactly. But I realized that my sad groans kind of like if I was a gigantic Hagrid myself, it would be like this.
Oh, gosh. I don't like that at all.
I like this noise.
Now, if a guy wanted to play with himself while you made that noise, what would you charge for that?
Oh,
be honest. Be honest. Don't overthink
69.
It. 69. Nice.
It's the sex number, right? From what I'm told.
What if somebody wanted to blaze up with you? What if somebody wanted to rip some cotton with you?
Maybe some 420, somewhere around that number.
Nice. Go to patreon.com/dubyfriday and give us your fucking money.
Up. Fortune Magazine, September 1st, 2017. Juicero has run out of juice. The San Francisco-based maker of countertop cold press juicers said today that it is shutting down operations and suspending the sale of its presses and produce packs immediately. The announcement on the company's website comes after the startup said in July that it was undergoing a, quote, strategic shift to more quickly lower the cost of its 399 juicers and $5 to $7 juice packs filled with raw fruits and vegetables. As part of the shift, the company said that it would lay off about a quarter of its staff.
Well.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So the real message there is they're keeping three quarters of their staff?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was back in July.
Oh,
now they're keeping none of their staff and they're out of money.
Daily cold press juice we can make at home? Yes,
now,
please.
I just want to say once again I get cucked by one of these tech startups because I bought the $400 juicer and I have one and then you have a backup. But you're saying but now I have $800 worth of juicers, but I can't get my $5 to $7 pulp packs. And I need my pulp packs to make the juice.
Max, is this one of those things? Is this one of those things? Is this one of those jam ups where you're not supposed to like they put like a put a code in the coffee maker, makes it impossible to use third party juices? You can't just go onto Amazon Marketplace and get a pack of juices, right?
Well, I think so. Indeed, I think it does have a QR code, which of course I know because I own two of these. Okay. I think it does have a QR code reader, but their whole business model was it was like a give away the razor for $400, sell the blade situation where then you get the $5 to $7 pulp packs mailed to you.
Pulp pack. And the other thing is there's another pop pack. The other beauty part of this is my understanding is they have electronic expiration recognition.
Well, that's how you know that your pulp is fresh.
You got to have fresh pulp in your pulp pack.
We can't have stale pulp.
Listen, you guys know that I am a big fan of the Internet of Things. I may or may not be a supporter of the Smalt Indiegogo, you know, the Salt centerpiece. But this is the worst thing. It's just the worst. There's a whole genre of YouTube videos called the Juicero Just Squeeze, where people, they use the Juicero, and then they take the little pulp back and squeeze it out faster than the Juicero
can do it. It's actually worse than that. So there was a Bloomberg article in April that sort of was an expose on the Juicero. And the whole thing is it's this very expensive $400 press. And it's like, we read the QR code and apply just the right pressure to juice the pulp in just the right way so that all the macronutrients come out into the juice. But what Bloomberg did was they just took the pulp pack and squeezed it with their hands and all the juice came out just fine. So you like don't need this $400 juicer.
No, not at all. Oh, gosh.
I've charged my daughter with something new, which is she was so excited about Smalt. She is now going to be out finding the worst things on the internet for us. And all I ask is that we credit her.
Your daughter?
Yeah, because she's getting really good at finding terrible things on the internet and then sharing it with me. And she wants me to bring it to the show because she knows how much Alex likes Smalt. She loves Alex.
Oh, I love Smalt.
Today's edition is DIY How to Make a Kinetic Sand Cake Rainbow Fidget Spinner. DIY how to make kinetic sand cake rainbow fidget spinners. So get some kinetic sand. It's got it all. So I got to send you this video. You make a giant fidget spinner out of sand and then cut it. They recommend using a knife.
Oh, this is so in my wheelhouse. She knows me so well.
Very on brand for you.
Oh my gosh.
It's not actually a fidget spinner. It's really just a bunch of sand and you cut it with a knife. They recommend a knife for cutting it.
So if I'm to understand this correctly, it is just a pile of kinetic sand shaped like a fidget spinner.
It's a giant, it's probably the size of a sewer lid. You get a very long knife. They recommend cutting it with a knife.
Okay.
And so what you do is you make all these different sections, and then you slice them real gentle-like. They recommend a knife. And then you make the little invaginations into which you can stick the round parts of the dingus that aren't really a fidget spinner. And it's about the size of a sewer. They recommend cutting it with a knife. DIY, how to make kinetic sand cake rainbow fidget spinner. Learn colors.
Now, are you guys watching sand cutting videos on YouTube?
Oh, yeah.
On Instagram. I think all the good ones are on Instagram.
Yes.
We watch them. My daughter is into them now on YouTube. I think because she knew Alex was into them.
Do you Instagram at all, Merlin?
No. I don't have any sources of photo information. I don't know if there's birds on the wires today. I don't know how the creme brulee turned out. So many things. I'm just out of the loop.
What if we had a Patreon tier where people could privately subscribe to your cat's Instagram?
Shit, dog.
Now, that would take. I would need to know that was going to pay for her education after my early death. The cat. The most recent one I sent
Merlin.
Wet.
Listen, everybody, tweet at Merlin and say how much you would pay to look at an Instagram feed of his cat.
At Alex Cox is where I like to get that. That one of her looking like a drowned rat was pretty sad.
She looked like the angry cat from Houston. Like, why is my home flooded?
Yakety sacks. Well, you know what? As long as we're making a little bit of dough with this, maybe there's something. I will go for that if we could create some kind of a space that is available to our Patreon members, but it's something shitty from all three of us. So I would take care of terrible pictures of my ugly cat who has a gut that looks like my daughter thinks it's her vagina hanging down. She's got a big gut that hangs down. She's wet and filthy.
Wow.
And she says, look at that. When she walks, she can see her vagina.
God.
So I don't know if she knows what that is.
God.
But I'm in for that. But now I also want you guys to have a little bit of vagina in the game. I recommend the knife. You guys need to get in there and post something awful from you
as well.
Let me get
here's my pitch of what I'm going to post on the Instagram, on the Dubai Friday Patreon Instagram. Now, I think I should post Instagrams of other ads that I see on Instagram. Because I know we've talked a lot about crazy ads that you see for stuff, but the Instagram is the king of crazy ads. It's the worst of the worst. It's the shit-tier worst of the worst
ads.
What
are you talking about?
What kind of stuff?
Okay, when I go on Instagram, I see ads for tactical lasers. Like where it's like a video of a guy like grinning and like popping a balloon and it's like, laser is illegal in 38 states. Click here to back it on Indiegogo. Mm. I see ads for like renter's insurance despite the fact that I'm now a homeowner. I see the ad of the video of the guy pouring ketchup on his white shirt. Do you see that one?
No.
I think it's an. No. I assume it's an.
I think I'm getting your mortgage ads, even though I'm a renter. I think there's been some kind of a mix-em up here.
I get mortgage ads now.
Yeah, it's like Obama doesn't want you to know about this reverse mortgage.
36
package.
Things about the Obama doesn't want you to know.
So you're gonna do ad screen grabs. Obviously, Alex, you got to do financial domination on Instagram.
I don't know what that means.
That means you berate the cucks in the audience and you wave money at them while they're playing with themselves.
Oh,
and then
yes,
they
of
send
course.
That to us. Mm-hmm. Financial domination. But in the Alex Cox bespoke financial domination style. So you have time to develop that.
Did you guys hear the John Ronson, the porn podcast that he's doing?
Yeah.
No. So he's doing a podcast about weird pornography, and he, the first episode, I think they ran it on This American Life.
Point of order, it's not a podcast. It's behind, I'm totally fine with podcasts behind paywalls, but you have to, it is an audio, audible program.
Oh. Well, that's bullshit. Any audio content that people have to pay to listen to is a complete sellout move. Those people should be ashamed of themselves. How dare they?
All right. Ron Johnson's show.
So the first episode that he did, he profiled this company where you can like pay them to make custom porn for you. Huh. And he just went to this company. He's like, what are some of the weird things that people have paid for? And some of them were very touching and sad. But the one that I remember is this old guy wanted these porn stars to fully clothed to burn his stamp collection that he had been collecting for his entire life. And talk about what a bad person and a nerd he was for collecting stamps.
I kind of wish...
And stomp on the stamps with their high heels
while
they were burning.
All right, kind of buried the lead there.
Sorry, I'm remembering it in pieces.
All right, dig dug. I've got I don't know if it's follow up or follow in. We didn't really talk about this a lot, but we did, because you guys informed me of Hydrox and Numinos, which are apparently real Oreos. And this morning I got some, and I just want to eat them, and that's why I'm in.
Oh yeah,
Numinos. I don't know why. I think I'm a little behind, and I missed the whole Numinos discussion that's happened. The whole Numinos discourse.
I think it's a big podcast.
Yeah, but Numinos are very good, and I've been privy to them. I just want to say they're...
Would you like one?
No, I can't eat garbage right now.
Oh, come on.
They're way better than Oreos. I've been hip to the Numinos for years.
Nice.
They're very good.
Wait, all profits go to charity. How does that work?
All profits go to charity.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
words. There we go.
All of Paul Newman's stuff is for charity.
Oh.
All his
profits.
Salad dressings.
Profits go to charity.
So
how's it tasting?
Fine. Creme-filled.
Creme. Wait for the creme.
This just tastes like exactly what a Whole Foods cookie you'd expect to taste like.
In that it's better than Oreos?
No, it just... I feel like it's just... It's got a little organic taste. Oh, you guys aren't super tasters. You can you tell the difference between, like, organic chips and regular-ass chips?
Nope.
Oh, well.
No, how do you... So is it anything you can describe?
I don't... It's a strange sensation. Usually, like,
It's like stamp collecting pornography. You know it when you see it.
Exactly. Like, you think it's less greasy. It's not actually less greasy. It's just less chemically. And then it'll probably give you less of... I've heard it gives you, like, less of acid reflux or, like, heartburn. Man, am I going to get heartburn now that I've reached 27, the peak idiot age? Is that like when it starts? Should I not be eating?
You
Oreos
are a very nervous person. I predict reflux. Reflux.
Oh. Ugh.
That's an Instagram ad I get. A special pillow you can sleep on that was invented by doctors that helps you not get acid reflux.
Huh.
I get some for purple, which is apparently a mattress.
Oh, I get the purple ones.
Yeah.
God, that thing is ugly. Can you imagine having that in your house?
Yeah, don't worry. I haven't bought the pillow and it's not on the way.
Oh, no.
It's just the pillow. But it looks cool. It's like a little mesh rubbery thing. I don't know.
Purple pillow. I have a Hello. I have one of those. They're not paying me
Hello.
For this.
I got the Hello. It's one of the only podcast things that I heard about and I ordered. And I really like it. I sleep on
it
every night.
I like it too. I kind of want to get a second one and really load it up. I like it to be fully hard, just big balls of husk. You know what I mean? I'd like it to be real. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. But I end up going shaka, shaka, shaka and make it like, you know, like you're going to hit somebody at a pillow fight at a party. You want to get a really like a hard pillow. I like it like that.
Oh,
you could
disable a bat with this thing if there was a bat flying around your kitchen.
Daddy, get him, Derry. Okay, I didn't think that would be funny, and then I watched it, and it was really fucking funny.
What are you talking about? That's the Scottish guys on the roof, but like all over again. It's very good. We'll
You're
put
not
in the show notes
behind that door. Purple pillow.
Oh, wow.
Did you guys check your iMessages?
Okay. Man, I had a good joke, and we just bruised Pat Merlin. If your pillow is still hard after 4 hours, is there someone you can call for that?
Hey, I got to tell you.
Yeah,
we got this guy over here.
Thank you
we got no
very
soup.
Much. what is this? Oh.
These are just images to get your juices flowing.
Is oh yeah, I like this. Yeah, put your feet sexier. On the money. Yeah,
put your feet on the money. Yeah, and then she's got dagger nails.
This is a great racket to get into. Financial domination.
The thing, I mean, you see why I choose that word elegant? It's so mm-hmm. perfect because
I mean,
you want to be.
Let's be honest. We all have a little. All three of us have a little bit of this going on with Apple. We're like, yeah, come on, give us the $1,200 iPhone.
Here's,
yeah, make us pay
for it.
Of course
I'll
buy a HomePod.
Here's,
come on, give it to me.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I wish that, like, I had a weird fetish. I wish that I could be the cool weirdo who, like, married her laptop. I remember there was a story about that, like, 10 years ago. A guy in the UK did, like, a civil petition to marry his 12-inch PowerBook, which, I mean,
you know.
We let
the gays marry, and then 1 year later, you have women marrying laptops.
Pretty soon you can own a bakery with a duck. What's happening? What's happening? What the fuck is happening?
I'm sorry. This is great noise, guys. I've been off, because I've been in another country, I haven't been following the terrible, terrible news. Do you have any fun things for us to read, Max?
Well, it's mostly been a sad, upsetting week. I mean, yeah. I like that Trump signed the wall of a refugee center.
He autographed a hurricane shelter.
Yeah. the other funny thing was there was a New York Times op-ed. From Eric Prince, Betsy DeVos's brother, who's the CEO and founder of Blackwater, the mercenary company that like embezzled lots of money and fucked things up in Iraq. And his op-ed was, the title was Contractors, Not Troops, Will Save Afghanistan.
Mm.
You know, just a normal, great op-ed that the New York Times
just another sign that this is all normal. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is very normal. I mean, I tell Kevin that whenever the toilets clog in the office and the shit lord rises up, that's exactly what I say. I say, contractors, not the troops, will save this toilet. Call the contractors.
Poor Kevin.
But that was a crazy... I can't believe that. I think in the interest of fairness and equal time, the New York Times should let me write an op-ed saying, card games, not the troops, will save Afghanistan.
Oh, my goodness.
I should write that. That would be a good Medium post. Alex, file that on my... to-do list.
Yeah, yeah. And then now don't you get paid? Is that Medium's new business model? They don't get any money, but they give money away to work.
Quacks, quacks or beeps? What do you get?
You get an epic clapback, and then if you get enough epic clapbacks, you turn that in for cyber beans, and then you can exchange your cyber beans for bitcoins.
That's that one Whoopi Goldberg did. And you come and you get your flus, and then you get to switch that back.
I watch people streaming Twitch now, and it's fucking, I don't understand what the fuck is going on. There's like little bits flying around the screen, and it's like there's a little sound effect, and there's always a person going like, "Thank you, Dick Lord 420, for giving me a 100,000 bits."
What the fuck?
Oh my gosh.
Do you not? It's Twitch is crazy now.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. When does Twitch become porn? I'm just like there. It feels like such a thin line between cam girl and Twitch streamer, which is fine. Like I wish there was like more guys owning it. Like, all right, this next, if I make the top 10 in PUBG, I'm just gonna uncover this nipple and yeah,
that's a good idea.
I know, it's one of my many good the one of six good ideas I have every other year.
It's weird. I mean, there is something similar to watching people play video games as there is to like watching cooking shows or watching pornography. It's like very titillating, but it doesn't ultimately sort of address the urge. You know what I mean? It's like if you're hungry and you watch a cooking show, it sort of speaks to your desires, but not in a satisfactory way. Same with porn, same with video games. It's like, I guess if you're like a kid or you can't afford the game and you're watching a stream of someone else playing it, it's like, it's sort of arousing and it sort of scratches the itch, but you know, it's not really what you want.
Right.
You really want to get a Q-tip all the way in there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, are there videos of people, you know, there are videos of apparently people, like popping acne and
getting our slash popping.
Oh, is that? Oh no, is that a thing?
Oh, you've never been on Reddit? It's no, reddit.com/r/popping.
Mm.
The popping community. It's a community.
There is Q-tip porn.
Yes. Maybe,
I just found it.
You know what? Maybe that is my fetish. Maybe I just haven't done a deep dive.
This is very graphic. Oh, they're not putting it in their ears, Alex.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Don't put this in the... I don't want to see this. Don't put it in the...
Nope.
Oh, God.
Oh, here was the other thing that was... This is very on brand for Dubai Friday. Some politics news. Everybody take the Q-tips out of your urethras. I got to read this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is on Wired, and this was a piece by Ashley Feinberg, one of the great tech writers. In the ongoing drama that is the Trump presidency, secondary characters constantly float in and out as new storylines and special counsel inquiries come to light. It's easy to lose track. So to help, let's get to know some of Trump's satellites, both new and old, a little better. Let's take a look at their Amazon.com wish lists.
Oh,
did you guys see this?
No.
Yes.
It is
the velour
great.
Pants.
It is great. Whether purposefully made or not, the below seem very likely to be genuine wish lists of several residents of Trump World. Thanks to the help of Amazon's wish list search feature, all it takes to pin them down is an email address or a relatively uncommon last name. So let's start with our favorite boy, Sebastian Gorka. Last week, Dr. Professor Sebastian Gorka, PhD, was asked to leave the White House. According to Gorka, though, he resigned because, quote, given recent events, it is clear to me that forces do not support
the MAGA promise are, for now, ascended within the White House.
This is by no means the first time Gorka has found himself in the center of conflicting accounts, nor apparently is it the last. According to his Amazon wish list search function, someone with Gorka's exact email address created the following order over a period of several months. Created the following list over a period of several months in 2015. So what's on there? There's a book by Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, called Be the Pack Leader, Use Cesar's Way to Transform Your Dog and Your Life. There's
exercise, discipline, and then affection.
This one pains me. There's a Terry Pratchett Discworld book 26.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
And then there's something called The Next 100 Years, and it's, I don't know, I'm zooming. Oh, I don't know what this is. It's some sort of foreign policy thing, I guess. The person using Gorka's email address also happens to choose items that align perfectly with Gorka's interests. Reading Cesar Millan's Be the Pack Leader, Gorka appears to be a lover of dogs. Gorka is also an avowed Terry Pratchett fan, which is very sad. I can't believe... How could Sebastian Gorka and I both like Terry Pratchett? Like, it doesn't add up. Like, I don't understand how he could read those books and then come away with it with his worldview. Like, something that is so fucked up when that happens with something that you love. It's like fundamentally like those books, I guess, don't mean to everyone what I think they mean. Then she goes on to say, when contacted at the same email address as the one connected to the Amazon account for confirmation, Gorka responded with the following, quote,
I don't have an Amazon account. Are you hacking private individuals' accounts now? Sebastian Gorka.
I asked Gorka if he has any idea how his email address might have become connected to an apparently unrelated account that shares both his name and his interests, and his response, quote, none at all.
Art War. That's his license plate.
Oh, Art War. Yes, Did you see the tweet of someone posted a picture of his fucking, what is it? It's the most, like, asshole car in the world.
I think it's a Mustang, and it took him 7 tries to parallel park.
Yep. Someone posted a picture of his Mustang with the bumper sticker or with the license plate Art War, and it was like Art of War by Sun Tzu, and he could not get into his parallel parking spot. Okay, next, Felix Sater. Sater, if you can recall, as
why
far back as Monday.
Why did the space so small?
Is the Trump business associate who wrote in an email to Trump's lawyer, quote, our boy can become president of the USA and we can engineer it. I will get all of Putin's team to buy in on this. I will manage this process. A former broker for the Trump organization, Sater also formerly owned internet domains like vaginaboy.com and cuntman.net. According to his now deleted
That one's a service provider, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you buy, they're associated with GoDaddy. Mm-hmm. According to his now-deleted Amazon wish list, he also once yearned for the Buy Super Tea Variety Pack, antioxidant-infused tea, 18 fluid ounce bottles, pack of 12. Typing Felix Sater into the Amazon wish list search page will bring up both a Felix Sater and a Felix H. Sater. As it happens, the full name of the Trump-affiliated Felix Sater is Felix Henry Sater. It would appear that we have a match. Now, the things on here, he's got a $500 backpack, a Tumi Sinclair Han backpack, Earl Grey, and it looks kind of ugly. Got A $197 pair of sunglasses, a Porsche Design Plus 250 lightweight reading tool, modern, Titan / black color frame with anti-reflection coated lenses. I asked Sater to confirm whether this was his Amazon wish list, to which he responded, quote, "Are you kidding me? Is Alan Funt from Candid Camera going to jump out of the bushes now?"
Wow.
When I went back to check on the list after receiving Sater's email, every item had been deleted.
Oh, fake news.
No. Fake news. The screenshots, however, remain. So let's see. Scrolling down the list a little more, we've got the mustard magnetic paperclip dispenser, Gray Genius paperclip holders. This is sort of an Albert Einstein molded paperclip dispenser.
That's fun.
A book about anti-Semitism.
Is it a textbook?
Yeah.
Like
there's
a how-to?
A couple of textbooks. There's the Buy Super T Variety Pack. There's the Derrick Rose Men's Nico 1 Velour Jersey Lounge Pant Navy Large.
Large pants.
There's the Boker Damascus African Ebony Pocket Knife, $315.
Boker makes, that's a nice knife. They make a nice knife.
There's the Viper Tech Rechargeable Stun Gun with LED Tactical Flashlight Black.
So this no longer exists, right?
No, so it's not his list. But as soon as the journalist emailed him about it, it was deleted.
Yeah.
There's the $2,499 Forno Toscano Margherita Portable Wood Fired Oven, a special oven for cooking pizzas. There's no price tag. There's a Prodeco Technologies G Plus Stride Electric Folding Bicycle.
Hmm.
That's cool. Well, if I saw a guy riding a folding electric bicycle down the street, I go, now that's a cool guy.
That's someone who should be advising our president right there.
Are those large navy blue velour pants you're wearing?
I see you have a knife. Oh, I suggest.
And then I think there was one more. And then, of course, Scaramucci. Fortunately for us, Anthony Scaramucci is a relatively uncommon name. There are only two potential mooches with Amazon wish lists, and only one of those comes with a bright, beaming headshot. So basically the picture on the Amazon account, he changed his user avatar to a photo of himself.
Oh.
So this one is almost certainly him. So let's see. On here we have a Against the State, an Anarcho-Capitalist Manifesto by Llewellyn Rockwell Jr., I would rather die than read that book. You have a book called A Business, one of these like Failure Equals Success, Business Success Win books. The Obstacle is the Way, The Timeless Art of Turning Trials into Triumph by Ryan Holiday. Like, I feel like you'd buy that. You'd see that at a FedEx when you're going to make copies. And next to the greeting cards with the old lady who's like the grumpy old lady.
I'd like to workshop some of those books. I that is a very popular let's see. I can't get up. I keep failing. That is such a genre.
Who moved my parachute? Do you know the greeting? Do you know the greeting cards of the old lady? Like, and she's like, they sell. That's when you're in a.
Oh,
truly...
the old lady. Sure. She's like a branded Hallmark character. What's her name? Genie or something.
So whenever you're in like a truly shit tier retail space, like the FedEx, like a rotating thing, they have like garbage business books. And like take control, like 30 surprising steps from entrepreneurs and CEOs, and then they have the cards with her, and she always it's always a picture of like the hunched over like lady with the glasses, and then she's always like, the food's too expensive, or it's like the food is bad and the portions are too small.
Her name is Maxine.
Maxine,
and she says everyone is entitled to my opinion. Maxine trademark. Maxie's got a mobile app. You get the Maxie mobile app.
This is what old people were into before minion memes.
I heart my attitude problem. Oh, she's got a whole series of books, too. Back in a Hot Flash, Out to Lunch, But Enough About Everybody in Management, On Vacation Will Return, Wake Me When It's Quitting Time, that's a Maxine book, I'm Get Out of Workaholic.
Maxine sounds like a lot of time theft happening on her.
Printable office signs. Oh, look at that. You can print these out. That's nice. Oh, these are free PDFs. That's...
Okay.
Imagine liking Maxine so much that you go to the website, you access the free PDF, you print it on your office printer, and then hang it up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Back in a hot flash.
I don't want to imagine.
And then finally on Scaramucci's wish list, you have David Brooks' The Road to Character. And this is the book about how to be an upstanding person with good character, where he wound up cheating on his wife with his like intern, the young woman who worked on the book with him and then eventually married her. And I believe she's the first person thanked in the credits of the book.
That's nice.
Credit the road to character, guys. It's the road to character.
Road to character.
When reached over DM, Scaramucci offered the following. He said, "Hi, Ashley. Seems like a list I would like, but I don't think it's mine. Hope you are well. I am,
that's nice.
I am break now, but I will be back. This was just minor blip." and then she writes, "Great, thanks. And back where?" And he says, "In NY, working on a new business, and of course, staying politically active."
Good great for
to,
him.
And then she writes, "Great to hear. Also, not an outright denial, because as previously mentioned, it is incredibly easy to create a wish list without realizing what you're doing. Because if you basically like, if you buy, if you have things in your shopping cart, and then you go like."
Adds a wish list.
Buy later.
Yeah,
yeah right. It mm-hmm. transfers it to your wish list.
I didn't know you could have an avatar on Amazon, which
I didn't
that's
either.
Interesting. Cool. All right.
Let's see if I got one.
It is. She says, "It is true that anyone could ostensibly make an Amazon account, name it Anthony Scaramucci, use Anthony Scaramucci's photo, and choose only items that Anthony Scaramucci might be interested in. Considering that this particular mooch added his first item in May of 2010, however, that
that's
all
a long
seems
con.
Highly unlikely."
That's a very long con.
This is. I was so delighted by this article.
She's great.
Amazing job. Very good.
I'm trying to add a photo of myself to Amazon so that if anybody ever finds it, they won't be able to see my wish list and be like, "Oh, that's just someone else named Alex Cox."
Mm-hmm. They just go, "I was hacked. They use my email.
I got hacked. Mm. I got hacked.
I get hacked."
Somebody hacked my account and put all these Q-tips on a wish list. I got hacked.
All of these Pokemon Lego sets are not... I don't know why I'd want these.
Woo!
I'm looking around the room. I'm looking at everyone's outfits today, and I have to say that none of our garments presently have any movement. I'm very concerned.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Oh, my God. Oh, the running around. Why are they always running? I think they must have made an agreement. We're talking about the twins here at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin, it's amazing, Pumpkin. I love it.
I think they just agreed they're always going to run and talk loud, and that will make for interesting camera things. They run. Why are they running all the time?
I mean, they've made a deal with the devil. I mean, they've clearly made a deal with the devil where they will be increasingly insane every week that they're on the show in exchange for not getting kicked off.
Yep. Yep.
So I still haven't seen the actual show, but I've been watching clips of the twins. So
what?
I can.
Don't you?
Yeah, but
don't
I'm
you
busy.
Get
I,
it on...
I usually. Well, I mean, it should be on Hulu, but got cucked there. But do you think they were just like a wabam sort of casting, or
wa-boom.
Are they like actually waboom?
Waboom!
I've pushed that show so far out of my mind. Are they actually?
Wait a
good?
Minute! I thought you loved that show. You guys were all gay for that show. You're not into it.
Well then, Peter,
I like
was
it.
It problematic?
I'm still gay. I'm still gay for it. I'm still gay for it.
All right.
Listen. Here's the difference. The only difference to me. So in order to just get in the door on Project Runway and mm-hmm. complete the forget doing well, just to complete the first challenge, right? You have to be extremely skilled. Just to technically be able to create
right.
any garment, forget if it's good, just to get something on the runway in the time constraints that you have in like
right.
a new studio and just get through that first thing, you have to have a high level of talent.
Mm-hmm.
That is the key difference between Top Chef and Top Dress and something like Bachelor. Like, what do you have to be on The Bachelor? You have to fucking...
Nice abs.
Yeah, right. I mean, you have to just not be a grotesque monster, I guess. But you don't have to have any talent. And in fact, there are people who they just let on because they're like purely amusing and they have no character, you know, they have no like talent or abilities. So the twins, like, they're not incompetent. They're just obnoxious.
Yeah.
They're like technically very good at making clothes.
Mm.
Maybe not as good as the other people on
I
the
mean,
show.
I mean, I hope we're not going to just keep doing this whole like asymmetrical thing and like think that's going to fly. You got some real talent in that group, and I hope they keep them around just because they are a laugh. But like, no. Who do I like? I like Kenya. I like Botany. I like lots of them.
These are real names. Okay.
Yeah, it's
cool.
Not spelled. But it's not spelled like Botany. It's said like Botany. She's cool. She's got cool hair. I like the girl on the headscarf. I think she's good.
Oh, she's very good. What was the I forgot what the challenge was this week. It wasn't the garbage.
The fake unconventional challenge, and then they had, what was the next one? I don't remember either.
Was it the garbage? Was that the most recent one?
Can't be.
Is that something they do every season? I feel like
they do an unconventional challenge every season.
Oh, it was the movement with the dancers.
Oh, the movement. Oh my God. And the trans guy with the, that was a little on the nose. That was very bad.
I'm amazed. Whenever people do those like transforming dresses, like the ones, remember they did the rain episode last season?
Yeah, we had some words about that one, but that was a very interesting challenge.
Those ones blow my mind. Just from a technical point of view, those ones really impress me.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I don't know anything about fashion, but those seem like very technically impressive garments.
We've talked to death at this point, but like I still think above all else, obviously you need some sort of organizational skills and you need to have the experience to know how to envision how your idea becomes a three-dimensional garment on a budget and with time. But I think people who are good tailors, good seamsters, like those are the people who often excel, because oh god, look at that terrible one, what's his name made, where like it was long and then the mullet dress where it was all frayed in front, didn't even have a hem. That was terrible. It was so bad.
Well, I'm over them talking about the plus size models. Stop.
Oh god, it's such
jerking yourself off over it. Like you did the thing you should have done like 10 years ago.
Well, and
we
you
get
know,
it just
you
stop
know,
making it such a thing every week.
You
is
know
this
they're
a
deploying
love
them.
Your body situation.
Basically, so like they basically this season for the first time they have a diverse array of body types of the models, and there's plus size models, and instead of getting like you
there's tiny women
assigned,
there's tiny women and normal sized women.
yeah and you basically get randomly assigned to a model, and every week it has to be a plot line on the show of the person who gets one of the plus size models where they're like
Sean struggled because she's never
I've never made a dress for a plus size model before. It's like that's whose fault is that?
She said it like six times. She's very curvy.
Yeah,
160 whole pounds to deal with.
And it's like yeah, I don't
sweat
know
much for
and
a curvy
and they always
gal.
Have to like sew them into it, and they're panicking, and it's like
oh my god,
whose fault is that? That's like going, it's like going on Top Chef. You know, that what this reminds me of is like, okay, if you go on Top Chef, just fucking look up how to put the top on a pressure cooker. You know, like, do you know what I mean? You know that you're going to have to do it. Just add that to the to-do list. Just buy every pressure cooker and learn how to put the goddamn top on.
I don't
or
understand the people who are like, I've never eaten a Frito. I don't know what to do. Like, bullshit.
Yeah. I also and then the other one that drives me nuts is, so you know where you're filming Top Chef, right? Like if you're going to Top Chef Texas, you fucking know it's in Texas. Why don't you show up with a barbecue recipe? Don't go to Top Chef Texas and then it's like, guys, this week it's the barbecue challenge. Cut to a straight ahead interview with the guy going, I've never made barbecue in my life. Like, what, did you not prepare for this at all?
Yeah.
Like, learn how to make a chili. Learn how to, you know what I mean? Like,
make
if you're
a
going
brisket.
To if you're going to fucking California, learn how to cook some seafood. It's like
the ones that appall me. Also, the barbecue ones are a good example, though, because you get this sense that there are people on this show who have never made almost any foods, where they think that you literally take cold ribs and put them on a grill, and that's how you make ribs. And it's like, you know, there's a lot of like 13, 14 year old kids that know that's not how you make ribs. Like that's you're gonna have some very, very bad ribs if you cook it that way. There's all kinds of whole ranges of food where it's like, I don't understand milk. We don't have milk in my place. It's like, what? you're so befuddled. Pan, what is pan? You know, it's just so dumb.
I love when they try to use microwaves.
Oh yeah, they always do like the dorm room challenge or the vending machine challenge. Yeah.
Oh, I don't like those. I like unconventional challenge on Project Runway. I like the candy one. I like
this is what the plus size models are doing, right? It's forcing people. Like, I think if you go to fashion school and you just design clothes as sort of an academic or an artistic pursuit,
right,
you use the dress forms that have everyone's used for whatever 100 years, and they're only the one size of dress form, and you just learn how to make that shape of clothes. But that's completely divorced from the marketplace of what clothes people wear.
But there's levels to the shittiness, though, because they also, like you say, they're virtue signaling heavily, but going, hey, look at us, look how cool we are, look what we had all these wide wives on here, you know, that's our look at us, aren't we great? And then you know you say randomly, you know, they are strategically deploying the curvy gals to people that are going to make that part of the story. Like, what's his name, the guy who made the cool white thing this week, Brandon, was that his name? He had a lot of curvy troubles a couple weeks ago, and then that became a whole big thing. And then you go, oh, boo. And then Nina Garcia, of all fucking people, and Zach are out there going like, well, if you're going to be designing, you need to be – it's like, you give me a fucking break. You've never
That's a good point. The top dress is very heavily leaning into the, like, I love my curvy wife thing this season, where they're like – they basically
my broad bride.
Every episode they have to spend 20 minutes going – listen, my wife.
You guys,
she's a beast. These models, they're monstrosities. Nobody could love them. They're awful. But we're making the designers celebrating them.
I love her.
And making the designers design clothes for their lumpen, misshapen bodies.
She's a saucy dumpster, and I love her.
Clothes for normal sized people. That's the future liberals want.
She's a mature mastiff, and I love her.
All my life, I've been mocked for loving these grotesqueries of human deformity. But the thing you need to know about me, I love my curvy wife.
I love my curvy wife. She's so hungry. I love her.
Most sewing shows, most fashion shows, they would cruelly mock these awful, misshapen misfits who have no place in the fashion industry. But here on Top Dress, we make our designers make clothes for them. And here's 20 minutes of montage of them complaining about it.
It's almost like they're people. Other shows would treat these people like props and objects.
Yeah.
But we found a way to really use them.
No, we're cool and woke. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, she has junk in the trunk, and I love her.
So one thing that I do like that they do on the, that they've added this season is like basically a camera in
the backstage.
They let the models like comment on what it's like to wear the dress, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
Because they basically will say this is very comfortable, or this is like a disaster, like it you know, or like the person stabbed me with a needle when they sewed me into it. I like that. It's like just a little bit of insight into like how well thought out these clothes are. But the other thing I don't like that they're continuing, that they started, I think they started doing this two or three seasons ago, is like, so basically they have the runway show, they interrogate the designers, they send the designers away, and they have the models and the dresses stay on the runway. And then all the judges, Nina and Zach and Heidi,
Tim, because they're doing this is the anonymous fashion show, right?
Yes, yeah. They get out of their chairs and they do like a little slave auction where they're like, come forward, and they like start like prodding them with sticks and grabbing at their bodies and spinning them around. And it's like, could you, and pinching the fabric. It's so degrading. It's like a goddamn person in that dress. Would you?
I know.
Show some decorum.
I don't know. I think that's interesting just because you do then get a lot of, I agree with you. It does feel like a slave market and it's gross, but I do like that they get to see a lot of the details up close. I like that. I'll tell you what I don't like. I'm not loving this whole, like, let's show 30 seconds of behind the scenes before we show you what's
what
on stage.
That's so weird. What
it's
is
so
that?
It's so dorky. Why are you making Tim
do
a little
show,
dance?
They show the little like crew backstage with their monitors going like, and cue the lights.
Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God. They started doing that on Shark Tank. I don't understand. We're like, three, two, one, pull the doors.
What the bump,
bump,
is
bump,
that?
Bump, 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 bump.
Why is that a fad right now? What is that?
Because you feel like you're getting a little something special. You're getting a little behind the scenes, but don't make Tim dance. He's obviously so awkward as it is. You can tell he's such an introverted man. Like, don't make Tim do a little dance with Heidi. That's not cool.
Is it part of the we talked about this heavily in the Bachelor episode, but maybe the behind the scenes cut is basically them putting a hat on the fact, or sort of in recognition of the fact that everybody watches these shows with a feeling of superiority. Literally every single viewer says, well, everybody else knows that, everyone else just thinks this is a story they're watching, but I know that it's a fiction. And you know what I mean? Everybody's special, unique pleasure to a person is that they can pierce through.
This is actually what my undergraduate thesis was about. Yeah, that whole sense of like that whole, who's laughing? Was that laughing?
Merlin, yeah, there's that whole. Would you use the phrase semiotics to describe the shot?
I think I used that. I had a lot of Gramsci in there. Yes, I certainly did. Just that whole idea, though, of like, and you know, it was cool because my sponsor for this really challenged me on this and was like, well, you know, I was really into this idea of this new at the time in the late 80s, this emerging idea about what Joel Achenbach has called creeping surrealism. There's more and more of this stuff that was presented to us, and like they showed just enough of the artifice that like it made you feel like you were in on it. And it was kind of, you know, again, the rising age of irony that really kind of took off in the 90s, and everything was ironic. And, you know, I would be out there, and I wrote a third of my thesis was about one Soloflex commercial and just all these levels of things to it. But, you know, but the guy really, my sponsor really challenged me on this. He's like, well, like, why don't you do this with David Letterman? I was like, yeah, but David Letterman's really good. He's like, all right.
Is that available online anywhere? Just curious.
It's bad. It's very, very bad. It's very bad.
It can't be as bad as your home screen. Nothing you've ever done in life, I think, can be as bad as your home screen.
My home screen is on point.
Let's see, what do I got here? Oh, see, there's a picture of high heels with shoes with money in it. Okay, I'm going to put that down.
All right, let's do the challenge.
Dig dug, dig dug, dig dug.
What I
keep doing this wrong.
there's like a mountain of bags here. I feel like I could nap on mm-hmm. these.
I know, they're all puffy. So, I believe a few months ago.
Oh, this is good shit. I see a good brand here.
Oh yes, yes, yes. We'll get to one of our favorite brands. A couple months ago, Max and a few people in our office caught me eating popcorn with a spoon, and this is like a dark shame I've held my entire life. I just don't like eating foods. I don't like using my hands to eat food. Your fingers get sticky or powdery, or I want the powders in my mouth, not on my hands.
Veronica does this now.
Oh, good, because she's a smart human.
Okay, one of Veronica's favorite foods that she eats when she comes home from work or like just an afternoon snack is we have an air popper, so she'll do some air popped popcorn with like a tiny bit that you can barely taste it of like spray on butter and just a tiny bit of salt, like barely perceptible. And then she'll eat that, and then she'll eat the leftover popcorn kernels. She'll like crunch them up and eat them.
That's exactly how you should eat
there,
it.
And I will sit there watching her eat this with a spoon.
That's exactly like
breakfast
how you do
cereal.
It.
And I'm like, you're a pod person.
She's an alien. That's an alien thing to do.
You're a pod person. This is not how a human
being. This is proper way to consume corn bits with salt and spoon. Yes.
Ronnie,
I am normal.
Sorry.
I am normal science lady.
I'm sorry I made fun of you for the rubber band. You're doing this right. Don't listen to Merlin. You're doing this right.
Oh, it's so weird, Alex. And you spread it around and you act like, hey, you guys, is it just me? Is it weird that I do this? Yes, it's weird. It's always weird that you do that thing. Is it you guys? Is it just me or is it weird that...
Yeah, whenever I put something on Twitter that I'm like, guys, is it weird if blank? It's all, I know it's weird. I just want other weirdos in my cucks to give me some comfort.
And then you got other
comfort.
People come and act, and they act like it's normal. It's just...
Oh, man.
I'm glad we're finally getting down to this. I have some microwave corn from the Paul Newman family. And I'm going to microwave that whenever you tell me to, and then I'll get a spoon.
Well,
it's a plastic spoon. Is that all right?
Fine.
I could go clean a spoon. I really don't want to go in that bathroom if I don't have to.
Okay. Nope. Yep. You use that plastic spoon. So we don't have a. What is that?
Some sort of truck honking outside.
Oh, okay. I thought we had been magically teleported to Merlin's studio for a second.
Is it an air raid siren?
Hope not. No. We are in Chicago.
Is it murders? Yeah. Is it murders?
Fire and fury. Okay, so we do have a microwave in the office, but I thought I would take a trip to Whole Foods that's now owned by Amazon, so you can get your organic Alexa, order Chicago style mix.
Oh no.
Do you know what that is, Merlin?
No, everything you just did is so wrong. You're a pod person. What are you doing? Chicago style mix? From a robot? What are you?
Okay, this particular Chicago style mix, number 1A. Mm-hmm. Chicago style mix is the superior blend of popcorn, and everything else is worse than that.
Agreed.
Number B, this is the best brand. I didn't even know they had this at Whole Foods, honestly. Mm-hmm. I find this at the Costco in a fucking potato sack, and I eat it until I'm sick. Whenever I go to Costco, I bring home one of these bags that I have to like lug in over my shoulders like a Vietnamese rice farmer.
Here's the problem, though. So if people are curious, I'm going to put all of these in the show notes. GH Creators, which is a very good if you're going for like a bag.
GH Creators, one of the best brands of popcorn.
Yeah,
they make the mix, which is a blend of rich, buttery caramel corn and premium aged cheese, cheddar cheese corn. You got a mouthwatering mix of sweet and salty. As we like
that's
to call
Chicago's
the mix.
Mix, baby. That's what the Gaper's Block is for. Stop right there. You found it.
But they don't call it Chicago mix. It's infuriating. It's like, oh yeah, this is just the mix we made. Like, no.
It's the mix.
Should I pop my corn, Alex? Should I pop my corn?
Please do. Max, here, you can start off with some of the mix.
I don't want to eat the rest of these popcorns. I just want this one.
Fine. That's fine. No, you've got to try it. Wait.
This is 1/10 of the size. This is a chip, a normal chip bag size. This is 1/10 of the size of the barrel of this popcorn that you can buy at Costco.
So I've brought some examples of some like things that I feel like you would understand that, like, okay, this is appropriate to eat with a spoon. For example, Chicago style, which
Chicago
is caramel
style.
and Chicago.
Chicago.
Like, so your hands are getting so dirty. So dirty.
Oh my God, this is good. I buy the Chicago style mix at Costco. I fill a bowl up. I bring my bowl of popcorn up. I play computer games. I eat this.
Mm-hmm.
Then afterwards, I have to go buy a new keyboard.
Well, that's the thing. If you just use a spoon, it would be fine.
No, I'm so fucking.
It's food. That's what happens when you eat food. That's what food does to your hands. It's called food.
That's why we created tools.
I do not
tools.
Like the way the feeling of the food upon my human hands.
All right. I also got the GH Creators Organic Popcorn with bold flavor, chili jalapeno, white cheddar. And there's no way I'm going to eat this, but I feel like Max might enjoy this.
I know that GH Creators made other flavors.
They do, but only
I'm going to take you over to the microwave.
This one just has a little sign on it that says bold flavor.
Yeah.
That's how they – it literally has like a wooden – it has an illustration of a wooden sign like you'd find on like a country home. And then a sort of fake handwriting font, and it just says bold flavor.
One of my favorite things about Whole Foods is when you go down like the chip and unhealthy snack aisle, and they're trying so hard to make it look like you're not eating garbage. It's so great. All right, I also got. Hold on.
Okay, hang on.
All right, what's up?
What is the name of this company that makes this?
GH Creators.
No, GH Creators.
Creator.
It's not creators. It is Creators. And it's named for Great Grandpa Creators. It all began in 1885 when Great Grandpa Creators invented the popcorn machine, and our family began perfecting the art of popping corn. His modern machine appeared at the Chicago Columbian Exposition of 1893. All right, respect. And for five generations, we followed in his corn popping footsteps, taste testing recipes around our kitchen table.
Okay.
Today we make our organic chili jalapeno white cheddar popped corn with timeless ingredients.
Oh no.
Organic popcorn, organic sunflower oil, chili and jalapeno peppers, and organic white cheddar cheese. We still use traditional small batch methods to pop our corn like Great Grandpa Creators did.
But we
stayed modern by keeping our focus on purity. Each organic batch is popped to perfection and seasoned with the right amount of chili and jalapeno peppers for a spicy, bold flavor.
Good.
From our kitchen to yours. Enjoy!
Enjoy! Peepum spicy corns.
I've been saying GH Creators for at least 20 years.
Creators! All right, I got it. I'm going to try this. Here I go.
All right.
Oh, God.
Oof. This is it's like a stinky, cheesy fist reaching out of this bag and punching me in the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Just going to note that Max is just not good. He is just going right in there.
Ooh, ooh.
It's this not. Really,
it's very. It's quite spicy.
Yep.
You don't get any corn on the spoon.
No.
Try it.
I don't have any way to regulate my amount. I want more.
No, yes, you have a way to regulate. Oh, God. I'm so.
Bigger spoon?
Hold on. I'm going to try the. GH Greeters.
It's spicy. It's too spicy for me.
I'm going to put it into a frat boy cup and eat it like a drink.
Oh, holy fuck. Oh, it hits you afterwards, too. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
It keeps going.
Oh, my God.
That's not a good flavor.
Oh.
I mean, maybe it's a good flavor if you want, like, a really spicy popcorn.
Oh, my God.
She's washing it down with some sort of blaze orange beverage.
Oh, no, no, no.
It's a
blaze
orange can. It looks like some sort of hunting safety equipment.
No. Okay, follow-up. I thought what I was buying was an energy drink from Whole Foods. No. This is an organic bullshit soda.
Oh, fuck that.
Because they don't sell water bottles at Whole Foods anymore. I'm like, gee, I just wanted a... it's pretty good, though. 10% juice. That's how you know it's healthy. Ulta Paula. Anyway, another... I got about... I would say 58 bags worth of popcorn here. And I also purchased some pick corn.
I'm very confused. Why am I eating? What is the challenge?
Yeah, the challenge is to eat popcorn from a bowl with a spoon.
Okay.
So here.
Oh, come on now.
Here you go. And these are the very fancy bowls and spoons that Max picked out for the office.
I'm going to say they're just from Crate and Barrel.
That's fancy.
Okay. Here's where I like the spoon. I'm going to say a good thing about the spoon.
Mm-hmm.
So with the GH Creators Chicago mix, what you want is one piece of cheese popcorn, one piece of cheddar popcorn, and one piece of caramel corn.
Exactly.
You do not want a big handful of cheddar corn that floats to the top or a big handful of the caramel corn. No, you don't want to get fucked. And you do not want a big handful of the caramel corn that sinks to the bottom. So it's actually kind of challenging.
Oh my God.
It's actually kind of challenging when you get your whole hand in there and you're trying to like You're like mining for a vein of the caramel corn to like mix in with the cheddar sediment. And with the spoon, you do get a little bit of discretionary, like, okay, now I've got one and one. We're going. Perfect bite. Mix it up, baby.
Yeah.
Gaper's block.
It gives you it gives you so much more control over your popcorn technology.
This is totally ridiculous.
It's not.
I look like a child who doesn't understand food.
I would rather someone walk in on me jerking off than eating popcorn with a spoon. It would be easier to explain.
No.
Yeah, I'd be like, there's a lady saying that I should give her all my money. What was I supposed to do?
Eat your popcorn with a spoon, Toad.
You're a naughty little Chicagoan.
I know that we have some listeners who do subscribe to my strange... I've got some cucks who will eat popcorn with a spoon, and I would like to introduce the product Pipcorn, which was...
I like a Pipcorn.
Pipcorn from Shark Tank. Yeah, delicious mini popcorn, and it's basically the size, like the little kernels are the size of a cereal, so then you're really, like, it's designed to be eaten with a spoon, basically.
Well, it's not good that far.
Milk? You put milk on
it? No, God, I don't eat cereal with milk. I eat dry cereal, and no one should be surprised by this at all.
You eat dry cereal like a cat, like with kibble?
Yeah. Milk is the most disgusting thing. Like, oh God, it comes out of mammals. It's no one should ever.
Oh, this is adorable.
Milk. Aren't they cute?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Okay, crunchy.
Exactly. Well,
What is it? Is it a varietal? Is it the seed?
It's they basically, you know how they breed breed dogs to get smaller? That's just what they did with popcorn.
Yeah, okay.
The corn.
Yeah.
It's also gluten free and whole grain.
It does not have a good flavor.
I enjoy it.
It tastes burnt to me.
It's got some like nice. It has a unique mouthfeel. But
yeah, because you're eating popcorn holes, unpopped popcorn holes.
I'm confused though. Isn't all popcorn gluten free and whole grain? Like what other grain? Like what else would you put?
You can just put that on anything.
Yeah. So the our story of Pipcorn, a brother and sister duo. Find some mini kernels and have an idea. Get a pot. Attract loyal Pip fans at food markets. Get a bigger pot. Get into a store near you. Thank you for making this possible and being part of our store. What a boring-ass story.
That is a terrible story. I would never tell that story.
We scaled up like any food product.
I have a really gross thing I'm going to say for the after show because I don't want to talk about it on the podcast.
Oh, fun. Oh,
Patreon.com/DubeByFriday.
It's too upsetting to bring up right now, but I'm going to talk about it on the after show.
If I use my hand, I can fit so much more in.
The one time I will have popcorn with my hands is at a movie theater because then you can just shovel it into your mouth without any shame.
When I have like a fresh thing of popcorn, like when I open up the G.H. Credor's Chicago mix, I want to shovel as much of this popcorn into my face in the most economical way possible. And I'll sort of make a funnel mechanism where I'll just like, I'll just like tip it down like a dump truck opening into my mouth. Oh my God. Mm.
All right. So then an alternative popcorn technology, put it all into a cup and then dump it into your mouth. Same thing. You can get it fat, and then you don't drop anything onto you. You just shovel it in.
We never have talked about exactly how you wipe, but I imagine that it is wrong.
I like it that way. I ask them to put on my song, and then I...
Sometimes Veronica asks me, hey, what did you guys talk about in the podcast? And this is going to be a weird one, because I'm going to be like,
we asked for money and talked about butts.
And talked about how we wiped our ass.
Patreon.com/DubeByFriday.
I think it might have been on a in the old school Top Scallops days, but just the idea of standing and wiping.
This is your challenge, and I know that there was a lot of content related to eating popcorn with a spoon that you wanted to cover. Mm-hmm. I feel like Merlin and I are taking up too much of the time with our musings. They're not really related. So I just want to give the floor to you. And you can talk at great length about all the different topics involving eating popcorn with a spoon.
There are a lot of people, John Syracuse has said that, like, why don't you use a fork? And that doesn't make sense. Because you can't, like, you're stabbing the fluffy white things, and you can't, if the idea is to get as much popcorn into your mouth as possible, what the fuck? And other people use chopsticks. Again, what the fuck? Popcorn is a food that is meant to be shoveled into your mouth as quickly as possible. And I don't know. But I don't understand why everybody is so upset about it. It's just, it's in, like, there's got, you guys make your weird meats in your bags that what, like, you
that
seal
is,
them
that
up?
Is
and
so
instead of...
ridiculous. You're taking, it's like getting corn on the cob and just throwing it in the trash. The whole point of popcorn is you eat it with your hands. That's right, it's right in the name, popcorn.
I don't eat the meat with, like, a set of surgical tools.
Okay.
And I prefer to sit on the meat.
There's no foods that are like is branded as a hand. What is it called? A hand food, that you eat with utensils. There's nothing. You've never eaten a fry with a fork.
I sometimes eat macaroni and cheese with a fork.
Oh my god, damn it! Wait, you know, as opposed to what? Your hands?
With your hands? You're watching some TV. my wife made some killer mac and cheese the other night.
Sometimes you make the mac and cheese and you have your dinner, and then afterwards you go to clean up and you still have, you know, you got a little bit of mac and cheese left over. And
oh god,
you're just in the cleanup process, and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna sneak in there and get one more macaroni.
Oh,
you get your fingers right in there, it squishes in, you take the noodle, you pop it right in your mouth. It feels naughty. It feels
when
good.
When it's cold, it balls up real nice. You get a little golf ball of mac and cheese.
Stick a Q-tip in your ear and we're good to go.
We're gonna make so much money with this. You ordering men to eat with their hands while they pick their ear.
All right, this is another one of the things where I know it's weird, but I bet people have done it. Have you ever like crunched up a ramen packet, like the noodles, and just eaten them as a crunchy snack?
I have it. My daughter loves it.
Yeah. Oh
whenever
my god.
Whenever I make her ramen noodles, I grab the lion's share. Excuse me, I'm eating on air. A folded over noodles, and then she takes all the nubbins that are left and eats them. That's the ritual for us.
That's the best part.
You know the, I think it's a, shit, I think it might be a Kevin Pang recipe, the Lucky Peach ramen dip.
No. Interesting.
This is a fucking game changer. This isn't Lucky Peach. Okay, here's your dip. Ready? I'm going to go to the store. You buy a thing of sour cream. If you go to the dairy aisle, sometimes they don't have just like a packaged brand of sour cream, but you can get the house sour cream, like the home, you know, like the more like premium sour cream. Get that. Mm-hmm. Tastes way better. Less processed tasting. Then you go to the ramen aisle. You buy like a good thing of ramen, like a fancy one, an internet ramen. Okay. You're going to throw the noodles out. Or set them aside and use them for something else.
Or mail them to me and I'll eat them as
mail
a crunchy snack.
You're going to open up the flavor packet. You're going to pour the flavor packet into the container of sour cream. You're going to stir it up real good. You're going to let it sit for about an hour so that the sour cream can like absorb the flavor crystals. Then hit it with your tortilla chips. Holy shit.
Oh.
It's one of the greatest foods in the world.
Do you ever like make that for a party, and then do people ask and get grossed out? Like, yeah, no, I just
yes and no. They're usually impressed at how easy it is compared to how good it tastes. Mm. All it is like salt and MSG and like you know crystallized soy sauce or something. Like it's just perfect flavors.
I usually have questions when I'm served something creamy. I usually want to know a little bit about the provenance and the ideology of what went into it. I want to know a little bit about like how it got so creamy.
My new thing is I'm showing up to parties with a lot of like cured fish that I make.
Cured fish.
Hey, I've been making lox and like smoked salmon and stuff.
Oh, wow.
It's fairly easy and it's like the best thing in the world.
Is it like pickling?
There's lots of different ways to do it. So I do a hot smoke or you can just do a cure and make like grav lox or like Jewish deli lox.
Sounds good.
It's pretty easy and it's amazingly good.
How do you gauge what sort of party, like at what point you're supposed to bring a food item that you've prepared yourself in a fancy way?
That's a good
question. I have a grown-up answer to this.
Okay.
The not grown-up answer is you just don't worry about it. Mm-mm. The slightly grown-up answer is you saying, should I bring something? And the really cool grown-up answer is to say, hey, I'd love to bring some food. Is that okay? Are there any limitations? And then you get a go-to food and bring that.
Mm.
Like a mac and cheese or a ramen dip. But I think it helps to be proactive in the asking. Instead of going like, meh, will you absolve me of doing nothing if I do it in this voice? You go like, no, I'd like to do a thing. Is it okay if I bring my famous ramen dip? And they go like, sure.
Well, what do you do if, let's say, you literally burn Easy Mac, the microwave version of Easy Mac? I like to say, hey, you want me to bring any drinks or something like that?
Listen
Does that
to me,
seem
listen
appropriate?
You show up with a bowl. You show up with a bowl.
A bowl.
A bowl and a bag of this GH Creedor's Chicago mix, you're fucking hit at the party. No one can make a food better than that.
I think if you show up to every party with a large bag of ice, a 12-pack of beer, and a bag of Funyuns, you're everybody's friend. There's nobody. God. People think they don't like Funyuns or don't remember liking Funyuns until they're eating Funyuns, and then there are no more Funyuns.
I've never had a Funyun.
Oh my God, Funyuns are fucking rule. Mm. Funyuns are
but
one
you,
of the
you
best
go like,
chips.
You gross. That's got to be like the apex of shit foods. But then you eat them and just they're gone. They're so fucking good.
Yeah, no.
12-pack of beer, ice, Funyuns.
All right, Alex, what are your parting thoughts on the book? I feel like we've all learned a lot.
There's so much enjoyable content. Hold on.
Really, a journey.
G.H. Creator's extra virgin olive oil popcorn. This is new. Oh, I'm excited.
Well, Evo?
Let me see if they got this on the local. Is that a local product or they got it nationally, you think?
Grandpa Creator, he distributes his famous popcorn creations all over the U.S.
Look at that. Here's G.H. Creator's popcorn Chicago mix. Six-ounce bags. Adding to cart.
You have Merlin, you're gonna shit yourself when you have the Chicago. It must be. Let me look at the nutrition.
It's pure cheese.
You get so you get 140. Yeah. You get 1 1/4 cup. It's 140 calories. That's not great for popcorn.
Mm-mm. I mean, it's not. It's its own food. It's candy. Mm.
Yeah, it's a candy. It's like a candy bar.
Have you really never had the Chicago mix? I feel like that's weirder than not having Funyuns.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Really ask yourself. Is that a question I want to ask somebody?
No,
of all the things that you could choose to be befuddled about, that the words that came out of your mouth were, have you really never had Chicago mix? Really? I'm gonna shock you here, Alex. I've never had Chicago mix.
Oh my god,
you want the real original Joe's Philly cheese pizza pretzel.
It is a thing where, like, if you land at O'Hare Airport, there's like six, you know, whatever, like, what's the big one? There's like Nuts on Clark, and then
Garrett's.
Garrett's, yeah. There's like a bunch of Garrett's popcorn things where you can just buy the hot Chicago mix popcorn. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like most people have had that in the airport.
Yeah, I think that's what, and oh man, I'm like 80% sure my parents have sent me one of those giant novelty tins for my birthday.
I go insane. If someone sends a tin of popcorn, why don't people send more popcorn tins?
That's a good tin. Yeah, I mean, it's better than a fruitcake. Yeah, how do I even?
Can you send a popcorn tin if someone dies? Like, can I be like, my condolences. I'm sorry for your loss. Please have this. Accept this.
Thank you for your service. Here's your corn. You should do that. You should start that tradition.
Do you know the big tins, the like oil drum of popcorn?
Mm-hmm. Where they break it up into sections?
Oh yeah, it's like a cheese wheel in there.
Like a tripartite corn can.
Popcorn.
I'm so sorry for your loss. Please accept my oil drum of popcorn.
Speaking of oil, I can feel the extra virgin olive oil on my hand after I picked up a piece of the popcorn.
You might have stigmata. Oh. I think there's so many things that you sense differently than anybody else in the entire fucking universe. It would not surprise me. You're Padre Pio. That's your new name. You're Padre Pio. That's financial dominant. You got sex stigmata coming out of all the holes. No, Thomas, you can't touch my wound. Don't worry, Max. She'll explain it to you later.